of the mitzvah Shabbos that was given in Elul. I mean, given in Mara. Elul, we'll see that soon. We know that Shabbos was given in Mara, and the Gemara quotes the drasha Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha by the Luchos Shniyos in Veschanan. So we interpret that to go back on Mara. Shaila is, did that mitzvah Shabbos of Mara also include Chumin? That's the words of the Gemara, or did it not include Chumin? If it didn't include Chumin, they were permitted to travel on Shabbos from Rafidim. If it did include Chumin, then you couldn't have left Rafidim until Sunday. Now, Chumin could mean literally Chumin in the sense of how far you can travel. That's what it seems from Rashi, whether the shear is Yud Beis Mil, whether the shear is Alpayim Amma, but there is a Shita, Rabbi Akiva, that's Chumin Doraisa. But since most Tanayim disagree, so Tosus wants to reinterpret the Gemara to mean not Chumin, but Hotzah. In other words, whether the Malach of Hotzah possibly was not given yet in Mara, in which case they'd be allowed to travel from Rafidim, even though they'd be carrying what they had, their belongings. If your old Hotzah was part of the Mitzvah Shabbos of Mara, then they could not have left from Rafidim because of the Malachas Hotzah. That's the Sheet of Tosus, the Tchumen Kamin Hotzah. Either way, the clear indication of this sugi is that Shabbos was given in Mara, and the Shabbos is only how far the Mitzvah of Shabbos went to include Tchumen Hotzah or not to include Tchumen / Hotzah. That's from one perspective. But then we also saw in the same Amud Gemara the interesting question of Tosfos regarding a Gemara later in Shabbos, a member of Agadita, but Tosfos focuses on one line of the Agadita. The Agadita statement was that if the Bnei Yisrael had only kept Shabbos Bishona, quote unquote Shabbos Bishona, then they would not have had the attack of Amalek. They never would have been vulnerable to anyone's attack. What's the Pshat in the Gemara? Because the Shabbos Bishona is referring to the Shabbos that the Bnei Yisrael were told not to go out and gather man, and there were some people, whoever they were, Dasan Aviram, according to the Medrash, there were some Jews who went out and gathered man, and Hashem was upset and critiqued them for having done that. So the Gemara says, since soon afterwards it talks about the attack of Amalek that was in Rafidim, so it's showing us that had the Bnei Yisrael observed that first Shabbos and not violated the warning not to go out, it wouldn't have been attacked by Amalek. Okay, so Tosfos raises the question, how can that Gemara refer to the Shabbos that took place by the Mon? In other words, the Shabbos in Elul. And Shabbos Bishona is, after all, here we see the Shabbos was given in Mara, and there must have been, says Tosfos, at least one Shabbos that was in between the Shabbos that was given in Mara and the Shabbos that the Gemara is referring to it as Shabbos Bishona. Tosfos is referring to the Shabbos of Tesvav Iyar, the Shabbos that they were in Midbar Sin in Elul. It says that they arrive on that Shabbos. How they traveled on that Shabbos is a separate conversation, but meanwhile it says that they arrive on Shabbos in Elul, and therefore that for sure was after Mara, because Mara, they went from Mara to Elim, and from Elim they traveled to Midbar Sin, namely Elul. The Tosfos doesn't go back to the 8th of Iyar, or to the 1st of Iyar. Maybe there they still hadn't heard about Shabbos in Mara. Who knows? We don't know the dating. But one thing is clear, there was at least one Shabbos intervening between having been commanded already in Mara and the Shabbos, quote-unquote, Shabbos Bishona. That's Tosfos' question. Tosfos has an old Makshim, which we had some problems with, that once even push off the Shabbos Bishona the following week, which would be Chavtes, and that certainly creates problems in terms of the cheshbon of the sukkim. We won't go over that nekuda right now. Either way, Tosfos does not answer the kasha. Okay, so that's another point in that Gemara and Shabbos. We had a variation of that question from the Dayenu, question that the Mefarshim in Haggadah Shel Pesach asked. How come we talk about Hachilonu L'Saman and only then V'lonas L'Lonu L'Shabbos? Seemingly, Shabbos preceded the Man because of Mara. Okay. So we have another question along the same lines as Tosfos. That's where we are right now. Now, we shifted gears, and we went to the Ramban. Now, there's something about this Ramban that could be very helpful on one of these questions that we just asked. Namely, the Kasha of Tosfos, but we'll soon see how this is going to help us. The Maestro, the Ramban, says a very interesting thing regarding the Mitzvahs of Mara. When the Ramban quotes the comments of Rashi on Chumash, when Rashi interprets the words some lo choko mishpat, referring to mitzvos that were given in Mara, Rashi formulates it in a very interesting way. Rashi's language is that there in Mara they were given parshios shel Torah l'asek bahen. They were given sections of Torah to be engrossed, to be involved in. That, for the Ramban, would indicate that it wasn't exactly a tzivui. The Ramban begins by asking the question, why doesn't the Torah say, like it says throughout Chumash, by Yidaber Hashem el Moshe, Lemar, Daber b'nei Yisrael, and whatever it is, command them about this or that mitzvah. We find it back in Mitzrayim, by the Parsha of Achoshes Alechem, the mitzvahs Karban Pesach, the mitzvahs Matzah, and so on. We have it throughout the Torah, Torah Kohanim, and Arbus Moah, by Yidaber Hashem el Moshe, Lemar. And here in Mara, they were given mitzvahs, but it doesn't state in the Chumash, by Yidaber Hashem el Moshe, Lemar, Sabbath b'nei Yisrael. That's question number one. And then the Ramban comes back to the Lashon Rashi, which seems to say that these were not mitzvos per se, these were not commandments, these were partial shel Torah to be involved with. So what does that mean? But Ramban has a very unique, very original way to interpret the mitzvah Samara, as we saw. The Ramban interprets the mitzvah Samara not as actual commandments that were binding right now. Rather, these were mitzvos in the form of Talmud Torah, for B'nai Yisrael to study, to be involved with, Kilush and Rashi, she is Asku Bahem. And the purpose of Ramban was twofold. Number one, Ramban says, L'hagile the mitzvahs, to get them accustomed to mitzvahs. In other words, instead of going right to Matan Torah with all the tzivuyim and being formally bound by the mitzvahs, there's a chance for them to get acclimated. We wanted to compare that to the idea of chinuch that we find by someone who's not yet bar mitzvah, they were not yet mechuyev technically, but they're still getting themselves comfortable so that when they get to the point of the tzivui, of bat mitzvah, there'll be a natural transition that will make it easier for them to embrace the tzivui and to go further. So that's one idea within Mara, like Hargila and the mitzvahs. And the other idea, the Ramban said for Ladas, in Yikaimu Osam, the Simcha, in Yikaimu Osam, I should say, the Simcha of the Tuv Levav. In other words, to get a feel for how B'nai Yisrael are going to take to these mitzvahs, to in order for them to express the enthusiasm that would come with mitzvahs, and then, therefore, you know, of course, that it makes sense to give them the whole chock full of mitzvahs that's going to come later as formal commandments. So this is not yet a tzivui. This is a preliminary stage that's going to set the tone for the tzivui that's coming later on. The purpose of this preliminary stage is, as we say, twofold. And to see how they'll respond to these trial mitzvahs, not mitzvahs as commandments, but these opportunities to get engaged, to feel connection, to have a shaychus to Torah. And then, from that, we'll get to the formal stage of commandment. The Ramban reads, as we interpreted the Lashon Ramban, the Ramban reads both of these ideas within the words of the Pasuk, where it says, V'sham nisahu. So we type the Rabban as follows. Nisayon, meaning Nisayon Milashon Hergel, like we find sometimes in Tanakh, the Lashon Nisa is to have tried something, to have experienced something. Even today in modern Hebrew, Nisayon can mean experience. So that's also in Chumash a little bit that way. That's one idea within the Lashon Nisahu. He gave them the chance to become acclimated. And the other idea is to rush in like a test. In other words, to see how they'll do, to see if they're going to be excited about this, in which case we go to the next level of tzivut. The Ramban says, so they were told that they will be commanded at some point in the future, when they become mitzvahs, when this and other things become formally part of the tzivut level, then you'll be careful to keep it. But right now, they're not down yet to keep it. This is more or less the Mahalach of the Ramban to understand the mitzvahs of Mara, which includes, of course, Shabbos. But here we have to deal with a number of issues. First of all, I left out one part of that Ramban, which I want to come back to. What is the Ramban before every, at this step, every, this is a Rishon, let alone the Ramban we're discussing, every aspect of how the Ramban presents Pshat is certainly thought out and has meaning. It's important to recognize. It's not just like someone just speaks. comparison to Geirus. It was a good comparison, and it could be by Geir, also. There's two ideas in trying to get him acquainted to mitzvahs. The idea of chinuch, perhaps, and the idea of seeing how he'll take to it. This is very valid. That was our own conjecture. The Ramban uses the Geirus analogy regarding the mitzvahs of connected to Matan Torah. That was later in Mishpatim. But there's another analogy the Ramban uses when he analyzes Mara. What else did he compare it to? These mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael and Mara, what did he compare it to? There's one more line that I skipped over right now that should be looked at. No, who can remember? He says, Al-Haderech, that what? But Klal Yisrael given in Mara to be misasked with Al-Derech what? Abraham Avinu, learning Torah. Let's be very precise in the language of the Ramban. Al Haderech Shelamad Avraham Avinu Es HaTorah. And then he continues. So that line has to be analyzed. What exactly did the Ramban see in Avraham Avinu's learning Torah that he thought fit to equate Bnei Yisrael's quote unquote mitzvahs of Mara, these preliminary mitzvahs that are just for them to get used to it and to know that it's coming later on? Why does Ramban feel that there's a comparison to Avraham Avinu? That we have to figure out. But the larger question that we have to also figure out is, in light of the Gemara that we began with, and he's dying on the days in Shabbos, we have a real problem when we read this Ramban. Namely, the Gemara quotes from the Machlokes regarding whether Bnei Yisrael were able to travel from Rephidim to Sinai on Shabbos. And the question depends on what issue. That which they were given, Mitzvah Shabbos in Mara, says the Gemara, did that include the Tzivoy of Tchumen? Whether Tchumen means literally, Tchumen like we think, whether it means Hotzah, whatever it might mean, the question hinges on whether they were already commanded in Mara on Tchumen. So how could the Ramban tell us over here that the mitzvahs of Mara were not on the level of being mitzvahs that they were commanded? It was only la'agiren the mitzvahs, so it's only la'das and mikabulosam, it's only a stage that's pre-tzivoy. How could the Ramban say that? The chorah from the Gemara, it's muchach not that way. From the Gemara, it seems that the question of what was Mara would be very practically relevant to understanding Klal Yisrael, could they or couldn't they have journeyed on Shabbos? So obviously the Gemara must have understood that the mitzvah Shabbos of Mara, that's one of the mitzvahs of Mara after all, was a tzivoy, which therefore has to be understood whether or not the tzivoy included tchumen. But how can Ramban avoid and not make any mention of that Gemara that seems to contradict what he's saying? That's a very, very important question that many Mefarshim have asked, and we have to try to figure out an answer to. That's one question. And on the same level, type of question, is the very drasha that the Gemara uses with regard to how we know that Shabbos was given in Mara. So the Gemara brings the drasha from the words of the Pasuk in Beschanan, Shamor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadisho, says the Pasuk, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Interpreted to mean, you should observe Shabbos as I have commanded you previously before in Mara. So here you have the words in the Torah, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, and though that would seem to suggest that the mitzvah Shabbos had already been quote-unquote commanded Kasher Tzivcha, and here the Ramban is saying that the mitzvah Mara, including Shabbos, of course, was only on the level of Eina Mitzvah Ve'osa, seemingly, and yet the drasha, Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, would seem to indicate that it was a commandment that was given in Mara. So these are the two questions that we have to think about. How does the Gemara make sense? If the Gemara wants to link the Kshayla of whether Mara included Chumin to the question of whether Kaiso could travel on Shabbos, sounds like the issue of Mara was a tzivui. And furthermore, the drasha itself of the pasuk of Kasher Tzivcha would also be mashma that was a tzivui. And here the Ramban makes it seem as if mitzvahs of Mara were not yet a tzivui, that were pre-tzivui. Those are the two questions that we had yesterday. And now we'll bring in the question of what Ramban means with his analogy of Avraham Avinu learning Torah. Okay, so let's go to say that, see what we can say to analyze the Ramban. But the first thing is, this is all you can, this is a, my Sefer has a lot of parts to it, but this is what I'm telling you now, is from a later part, specifically about the Ramban. This together of Mara, Mitzvahs and Mara will be the Ramban. So, the truth is, this may be half a teretz, but it's better than no teretz. Namely, let's talk now about the Lashon HaPasuk of Kasha Tzivcha. We're not yet at the Gemara in terms of traveling a Shabbos. When Ramban says that they weren't commanded, it's true they weren't formally commanded, but clearly that which they received in Mara was very much connected to the notion of mitzvah, of tzivui. It's not just Stam that they were told there's going to be a tzivui. They're given what they're given for the sake of the tzivui of later on. Obviously, that's the case, because what is the Hagidah of the mitzvahs if there's not going to be a tzivui later on? What's the point of chinuch if there's not going to be a post-bar mitzvah state that it becomes a tzivui? So clearly, and the other reason as well, ladas and yikadlos them. What's the purpose of having these trial mitzvahs? The purpose is because now you know that we can give them the tzivui later on. So clearly, the preliminary stage was meant to set the tone for a tzivui. So it's not just stam, you know, hey, you know, let's see here, here, try this out. The trying it out is in order to make the tzivui relevant and to make the tzivui that it's going to be, that there's going to be a tzivui because of this. What enables and facilitates the mitzvah for later is the pre-stage, the preliminary stage of Mar. That's the first thing to notice. Now, in that regard, we can maybe think about Avraham Avinu as well. Avraham Avinu learns Torah. Avraham Avinu keeps mitzvahs like Eina Mitzvah Va'oseh. Avraham Avinu is not just an individual who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved and promised many things to. Avraham Avinu is a patriarch. Avraham Avinu is, you might say, personified in some way Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu's life foreshadows the history of Klal Yisrael. Ki Yadua, the Rabban himself, makes a big deal about this in Parshas Lech Lecha and throughout Sefer Bereishis, that the idea of Masa Avo Simon Lebanim. Avram goes here, he goes here, he goes there, and it's all foreshadowing events in later history. Avram Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael goes down to Mitzrayim. Avram Avinu leaves Rechus Gadol, so Klal Yisrael leaves Rechus Gadol, and so on and so forth. Throughout Sefer Bereishis, Ramban does this with all the others, but especially Avram Avinu is where it begins. Now, if Avram Avinu learns Torah, I would argue that maybe that means something, not just by Avraham Avinu, but it also creates the notion of Klal Yisrael accepting Torah. Avraham Avinu, let's talk about the idea of Lahagila B'mitzvahs for a second. Lahagila B'mitzvahs means it's for the sake of the Klal Yisrael themselves getting comfortable with mitzvahs, right? It's not just that Klal Yisrael get comfortable with mitzvahs and then they fulfill the mitzvahs. It goes back to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu learns Torah, and that also paves the way, in the same way that someone who does chinuch paves the way for the continuing on that path when they become commanded. Avraham Avinu's involvement with Torah paves the way for Simon Levan and for Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban's mashal is not totally arbitrary. The idea of Lahagila B'mitzvahs and Ladas and Yekabu, the idea of Klal Yisrael's mitzvahs paving the way for their own experience that's going to follow, you can see that going back to Avraham Avinu too. Avraham Avinu paves the way for his children in what way? If he learns Torah, then it makes the Matan Torah of Klal Yisrael that much smoother, that much easier. It's also a sort of a nice to other Simon Levan. I'll take it from another angle as well. You know, there's a Gemara in Bava Kama Pebeis that talks about the Takana, the original Takana of Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni Vachamishi, on Monday and Thursday. And the Gemara brings the Makar from the fact that when they come to Mara, it says that they went 3 days and they were tired and they had no water. And then they had the water, but the water was bitter, it had to become sweet. The Gemara says, what you see from here is that you can't go 3 days without Torah. Because if you didn't have Kriyas HaTorah Monday and Thursday, you'd have a gap of 3 days without Torah. So they instituted way back, Darshan Rishumas, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Nevi'im Shebineyan were mitaken Kriyas HaTorah B'Sheni V'Chamishi. What does it mean that they went 3 days and they were tired? Tired doesn't mean physically. It means that without Torah, there was a sense of, there was no meaning. They felt that they were losing their kochos. They didn't feel strong. They felt like they didn't have any nourishment, spiritual nourishment. The Ein Mayim Ela Torah, that's what the Gemara is saying there. And Lo Matsu Mayim means not water, but it means that they needed Torah. So therefore we understand that the mitzvahs of Mara foreshadow the inyan of Torah, of Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara is saying that the Kriyas HaTorah was instituted Sheni V'Chamishi because of the pasuk that they went 3 days below Matsu Mayim, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. And now what happens? They were given the mitzvahs of Mara. According to Rashi, it's Gevaldik, and the Rabban as well. What are the mitzvahs of Mara? The mitzvahs of Mara were not yet Sivuyim, but mitzvahs of Mara were being involved, this aspect, to feel connection to the Torah, that you're connected to the mitzvahs through intellectual connection, through learning, which is exactly what the katakana was, to have every Sheni V'Chamishi, Kriyas HaTorah, to feel a connection to Torah, because without the connection to Torah, a person feels empty, a person feels lost. Everyone can relate on some level, right? If you lose the routine, and then you suddenly feel somehow it's disorienting. A Jew needs, just like a person needs oxygen to breathe, a Jew needs Torah to feel connected spiritually, to feel plugged in, to feel kochos. So that's what Mara also has to do with. It's the idea of giving that chizuk, not to go 3 days without Torah. In that way, this I found subsequently in the Sefer Maaseh Hashem from Avital Ashkenazi, a beautiful parallel. He says, Avram Avinu represents, the Gemara says, the Elef Hashlishi, in a sense that 2,000 years till Avram Avinu came on the scene and began to be involved with his campaign to bring Torah to the world, to bring monotheism to the world. So the world was in a state of tohu. It was chaotic. It was crumbling. It didn't have any tsura to it. The ego, there was no form to the world, because there wasn't yet Torah in the world. When did the Shnei Alafim Torah begin? Now, it was starting the third millennium. We have Shnei Alafim Torah. It begins with Avram Avinu, Be'esa Nefesh Asha'asu B'chara, and Avram Avinu begins to involve with spreading the word of Hashem. That, says the Gemara, is parallel to Shnei Alafim Torah. What does that mean? That means that without that, the world is lacking its oxygen, it's lacking its kiyum, it's lacking its chiyus. Right? Like the Gemara says, Biyom Hashishi, without Torah, the world would go back to the state of tohu. Right? Biyom Hashishi. Avram Avinu, he was the beginning of Torah. It wasn't just Matan Torah in year 2448. In the year 2000, the creation, there was already Avram Avinu at age 52, I think, when he began to connect to the idea of injecting Torah into the world. When Avraham Avinu is learning Torah, in other words, Avraham Avinu's learning Torah represents giving new kochos to the world in the same way that the remes of Klal Yisrael, when they got to the third day and they didn't have Torah, they felt tired, miyad milu. That's why they were attacking, the Nevi'im were attacking Kriyas HaTorah Sheni V'Chamishi. And therefore, in the same way that Avraham Avinu's Torah was a way of undoing the state of tohu, tohu means collapse, that the world doesn't have a kiyum, and now Avraham Avinu represents the ability to inject meaning and purpose to the world through Torah. Shnei Alafim Torah begin with Avraham Avinu. So it is that the third day, Klal Yisrael realized they need to have something, and that's why Hashem gave them the Chokum Mishpat, the mitzvah of Mara. I think here, again, the Rabban's analogy is very precise. Avraham Avinu's learning Torah is the perfect way to link to the mitzvah Samara, which were also the idea of Klal Yisrael being involved with Torah, because without it they had no purpose. They felt that they
I just lost my Zoom. I'm running a sheet.
She's not a Jew. But so is with every mitzvah. Not just the kedusha of the mitzvah. The kedusha of the mitzvah is intertwined, and really it's getting its chiyus from the osios and the associates of Chaim Velazquez. So now, if we understand the idea of mitzvahs as connecting to Torah, we can also understand that even at a stage that the formal trappings of a tzivoy may not exist, but the underpinnings of the tzivoy can still exist. Namely, Kedushas Yisrael obviously is interconnected with a tzivoy on a mitzvah. Asher kitshano b'mitzvosa. But Moshe speaks about this in one of his tshuvas, but it's a push like this. If a non-Jew will take a lulav on sukkis and shake it, would anyone suggest that they would get schar like Eina Mitzvah Ba'osu? After all, he doesn't have the commandment, but nu, let him do the mitzvah anyway. Why not get some schar? He's not commanded, but he does a mitzvah. What about if he eats matzah on Pesach? Would a non-Jew get schar like Eina Mitzvah Ba'osu? So, to the extent that we could talk about mitzvahs that have maybe a benefit for society, in Yonim of Stucca, and so on, yeah, maybe you could argue yes. There'd be schar for a non-Jew who gives Stucca, and so on, things like that. But when you talk about a mitzvah that's purely bin Adam Lamakom, like matzah, like lulav, b'chuli, b'chura, it seems pashut that you wouldn't assign a schar in between the osa. Why not? They're not commanded, but they did a nicer mitzvah. The answer is, the schar for a mitzvah has to do with the person being mitzvah in the mitzvah, if not in a formal way, but being shayach to the tzivah. A woman is patur from certain mitzvahs as man grama. No doubt about it. If a woman does a mitzvah shofar, for example, mitzvah lulav, mitzvah matzah de mechuyavin, okay, but a mitzvah not mechuyavin, but they do it, their schar k'mitzvah k'en mitzvah v'oseh. Machlokes Harishon, and whether they can say the bracha, technically, but Rabbi Lutam says, Ashkenazim hold, you can say Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosav. Why? I did not command it. The answer is, the fact that they're technically patur doesn't mean that they're not shayach to the tzivoy. But Moshe puts it in a very sharp way. The Kedushas Yisrael for a woman is no less than that of a man. The Kedushas Yisrael is identical, just that the woman has certain peturim from the tzivoy. So therefore, Asher Kitshara b'mitzvosav is not wrong, because the woman is still shayach to the Kedush, to the tzivoy, even if there's a technical tour from the mitzvah. Even if it's not applicable to them, but it's still the Kedushas Yisrael, which is what's connected to the tzivoy, is still present. With this in mind, I think we can come back to what happens here according to the Ramban in Mara. And on some level, Avraham Avinu as well. Let's go back to Avraham Avinu. Question, Kiyodua, that many of the Sfarim talk about Parshas Derachim, did Avraham Avinu have the din of a Jew or not of a Jew? Before Matan Torah. So it's a big machlokes, there's a lot to say about this. The Ramban says in Parshas Emor, that from the time, at the end of Parshas Emor, he says, from the time that Avraham Avinu underwent Bris Milah, he had a din of a Yisrael Gomor. Which means that Avraham Avinu right now, after Bris Milah, he had only one mitzvah that he was formally commanded with. But Avraham Avinu now had a Shaykhis to the entire Tayag Mitzvah. Even if the Tzivoy was formerly only limited to this Milah, but to the extent that Avraham Avinu's Kedushas Yisrael was complete, to that extent, Avraham Avinu's fulfillment of any mitzvah of the Torah is not like analogous to a non-Jew who takes a lulav on Sukkot or who eats matzah on Pesach, but to the contrary, it's analogous to a face to a woman who takes a lulav on Sukkot or hears shofar on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, Avraham Avinu had shaychis to the entire extent of Tayag Mitzvahs, even if the formal tzibur right now is limited to Bris Milah, but he had a Kedushas Yisrael, which is the underpinning of the entire Torah, even if the tzibur level, that level of icing on the cake, the formal tzibur didn't yet go on the other mitzvah. But Avraham Avinu had a shaychis. And therefore, Avraham Avinu was learning Torah. Was injecting everything that learning Torah and all the mitzvahs in the Torah does, Avraham Avinu was connecting to all of them. And therefore, we can now carry that over to Mara as well. It may be, as Ramban says in Chumash, that the tzivui wasn't yet here. The tzivui for these mitzvahs wasn't yet here. Right now, they're being given these mitzvahs as a trial. They're being given these mitzvahs, the hargila and the mitzvahs. The ladash and the kaimalos. But together with that, Klal Yisrael as a nation have entered into a certain level of Kedushas Yisrael that brings them into a shaychis with these mitzvahs on a certain fundamental level. If not the formal tzivoy, it's everything but the formal tzivoy. The kiyuma mitzvah of whatever they were doing right now was on a level that they were connecting to the Torah of that mitzvah, in which case the kiyuma mitzvah was yonek from the or of the Torah of the mitzvah, as the Chaim Vilna says, in a way that wasn't previously. So therefore, there's a new milestone that comes into being at Mara with regard to the level of Kedushas Yisrael with regard to these mitzvahs. And even though you'll ask me, but didn't they have it already from Avraham Avinu? So what's added in Mara? Avraham Avinu already gave us that connection to Tayag mitzvahs. The answer is, but there's different levels. Not everything is the same level. But Masha, Avraham Avinu had a shaychus to Bris Milah, which was obviously another level beyond that of the rest of the Torah. The rest of the Torah, he didn't have a formal tzivui, but he had the shaychus to all of that because Bris Milah connected all the mitzvahs. So now he had the shaychus to all the mitzvahs as one unit. But Bris Milah was more miyuchad. He had the tzivui too. So now Avraham Avinu puts that into the world for his descendants. But Klal Yisrael now have to become their owning it on their own. Klal Yisrael's getting to the level of Kedushas Yisrael with all the mitzvahs has stages. The formal tzivui doesn't yet happen in Mara, but something's happening. On the foundational level, the shaychus that mitzvahs have to be anchored in Kedushas Yisrael and into the Torah of the mitzvah, all that is happening in Mara. Klal Yisrael is being given the mitzvahs as asikran. Those mitzvahs are giving Klal Yisrael a unique connection to those mitzvahs in terms of the sodos, the oros of the mitzvah. I say this is like I don't know if it's a perfect explanation for how you learn Kashet Sivcha. The words after will say Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. But for now, let's just say, because the mitzvahs were not just that, you know, if you don't think about it in this kind of formulation, it would sound like, what does Kashet Sivcha have to do with all of this? The answer is, no. This is all relevant to the tzivoy. It's in order to facilitate the tzivoy of later, and it's in order to create the foundation for the tzivoy, and it's connected to the inner mitzvah of the Osa level, that there's a Kedushas Yisrael here. So Kashet Sivcha can pass the test because it's basically a shaychis that's being created to the tzivuyim that were given in Mar. So if you can buy that for the Lashna Pasuk, okay, so we have something of a yishuv explain why the Torah can say Kaset Simcha Hashem Elokecha, even though it wasn't yet the last level of Tshuva didn't come. But we still have a bigger problem to address. And what do we do with this sugya in Shabbos? Now, let's shift. So we just said a lot in terms of the Ramban, in terms of Avraham Avinu. These are in Yonim that, of course, very, very profound and have a lot to be, you know, to relevant for us for Shavuos. Now I want to shift gears and talk about the Gemara itself and how to learn Shabbat in the Gemara. The Gemara says that there's a machlokas where they could travel on Shabbos depending on whether there was a Yisr Tchumen from Mara. According to the Ramban, the Mara did not create any Yisrs, only mitzvahs. At the end of the day, could they have traveled on Shabbos based on Mara? It sounds like they could. So like, what's done in the Gemara? The answer I'm going to give you now is Nivur. I found afterwards in the Nitziv in several places and with an extra twist as well. But the short answer is the following. Before we deal with the Gemara, let's ask ourselves the following question, okay? When did the mitzvah of Shabbos become binding according to the Ramban? It didn't become binding in Mara, that we understand. Question is, when did it become binding? So, we have one option to say Matan Torah, right? When did Kibbutz Ava'im become binding as a mitzvah? Matan Torah. However, it could be that here's where there's a difference. It could be that the mitzvah of Shabbos became binding at Olus, in connection to the story of the month. And if we say that, then we have a beautiful answer to our Kasha from Dayenu, and to Tosa's Kasha from Shabbos Rishona. Because what was our question? How can we talk about first the month and then Shabbos in Dayenu? Ayin Mara came first. How can we talk about the Shabbos of the Man that they went out to gather Man of Shabbos Rishona? There was Shabbos before that because the Mara, according to the Ramban, that the mitzvahs of Mara were not yet binding on Klal Yisrael. Now we figure out when did it become binding. So it could be that's exactly the point. In Mara, they weren't commanded yet to keep Shabbos. They were only learning about Shabbos. They were keeping animates of Avosa. But when did it become binding? It became binding by the month. On that Shabbos Rishona, that was the first time that Shabbos was in fact commanded. At that point, they were chuyav to keep Shabbos. And that's why we say Hachiranu is Haman first, and then we say Nasan Ranu is a Shabbos, because that's when Shabbos was at Tzivos. And that's why it's called Shabbos Rishona. That's something that the Nitziv says. And with that, he says something very fascinating. If you look in the Pesukim in Parshas B'Shalach, something very strange. I don't know if you got it. I sent you two other pages of the Nitziv this morning. I don't know if anyone had a chance to look at it or copy it, but I have it. I gave you in the packet the Nitziv in Meshiv Dagar. It's also in the Nitziv in his Parish on the Mechilta, and it's also a little bit of Hamik Dagar. But there is a pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach. Take a look on your pages here, page 8. In the story of the man, we have that the Friday of Lechem Mishneh, where the Nesi'im come to Moshe and they say, why we have double man today? And Moshe says the following words in pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayom Aleihem, now, Hu Asher Dibre Hashem, Shabbason Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Machar. Moshe says, that's what Hashem said. Hashem had told Moshe that there's going to be double man on Friday. Moshe, for whatever the reason, did not relay this yet. And now he's telling them, that's what Hashem said. Shabbason Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Machar. Tomorrow is Shabbos Kodesh Tashem. Whatever you have to bake, you bake now. Whatever you have to cook, you cook now, and leave over the rest for tomorrow. Okay, so he explains to them why there's double man on Friday. Okay, and they left it over, and nothing got spoiled. Moshe says, eat it today, It's Shabbos, 6 days you'll gather it, seventh day, it won't have anything else. Okay. Pashup Shat means the next day, means that same day. Okay, that's the Pashup Shat. So now, that day, let's assume it's Chod Be'ezir, the Pashtus, they went out, a few people went out to gather money they shouldn't have done. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, Hashem is critiquing Moshe. He says, Ad Ona Me'amten, this is Pasuk Chav Ches, to what end are you refusing to observe my mitzvah? These words are Hashem's words, right? The next Pasuk, whose words are these? Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem ha-shavos, al kein hu nosen lachem vayom ha-shishi lachem yom noyim. Who's speaking in Pasuk Chav Ches? Who's speaking?
Moshe.
What does it sound like? Who's speaking in this Pasuk?
Moshe.
Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem ha-shabbos. Al kein hu nosen lachem b'yom ha-shish lachem yom noyim. Who's speaking?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. So it's clear, even though you don't realize at first, because the previous pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Moshe. Okay. Now notice something interesting. The Lashon HaPasuk is U Yashem Nasan Lachem HaShabbos. Hashem has given to you the Shabbos. What was the other pasuk earlier? When Moshe speaks earlier to the Nesim, he says, Hu Hashadi, the day earlier, Hu Hashadi BeHashem Shabbaton Shabbat Kodesh Lashem Lacha. So before Moshe Rabbeinu says that tomorrow is Shabbat Kodesh Lashem, the next day after Moshe gets criticized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that people went out to gather man, and now Moshe turns to Klal Yisrael and he tells them, Ru'u ki Hashem Nasan Lachem HaShabbos. Why does it first say Shabbat and Shabbat Kodesh Lashem? And the second time it says, Ki Hashem Nasan Lachem. Is it Shabbos Kodesh Hashem, or is it Shabbos Kodesh Lachem? There's an Etzir, something fascinating. He says, he goes out Derech the Ramban. The Ramban says in Pasuk Besarach, as we saw earlier, that the mitzvahs in Mara, which includes Shabbos, were not yet tzivuyin. They were not given yet as a tzivuy. It was only, as we said, the mitzvahs, the ladas, and so on. But the question is, and they knew that, they knew they weren't commanded. But now the question is, when would it become binding? There's the Tzivim, everyone thought, including Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was going to be a Matan Torah soon enough. And at Matan Torah is the time that Shabbos would become formally a Tzivui that they have to keep Shabbos. But until that time, it would still remain in the level of Eina Mitzvah Ba'osa. So you couldn't condemn somebody who cut some corners here and there and didn't keep Shabbos because it's not yet commanded. It's just to get oriented and so on. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first refers to the next day and the fact that there won't be man, he says, Shabbos and Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Machar, meaning it's Shabbos Kodesh Lashem. It's not yet. It's a special day. Because Hashem chose it as a special day, there won't be man. It's not yet yours in the form of a tzibur. It's Shabbos Kodesh Lashem. It's Mekudesh Lashem. However, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he had miscalculated. When Hashem says to Moshe, Ad Ona Me'antem Lishma Mitzvosa V'Sorosai, Hashem is obviously communicating to Moshe, no, this became now, it's now a tzivui. They have violated the tzivui. So now Moshe turns to Klal Yisrael and says, we have it wrong. Now it's for real. Ru'u ki Hashem nasan lachem ha-shabbos. In other words, the tzivui is now yours, and he quotes a mechilta on this pasuk, and it's kind of done in the mechilta as well. Lashon ha-mechilta on this pasuk is, quote, Amar lehen Moshe l'Yisrael, ki zaharu, ki Hashem nasan lachem et ha-shabbos shetishneruha. What is the mechilta telling us? There's the mechilta, beautiful. Mechilta is saying that when Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, no, you thought that the tzivui is not yet going to set in until Matan Torah. No. Ru'u, you should realize, Hizaru, Hashem, Nasechem, Shetishvur, now it's for real. Now it counts. Now it's not the exhibition games. Now it's the real thing. Now it's not Chinuch. Now it's Yom Shabbos. You're Muslim to keep Shabbos. now, we understand, according to the Ramban, that the mitzvah Shabbos is different than the other mitzvahs in Mara, in that the formal tzivut came earlier than the other mitzvahs. At the time of Mara, they weren't yet commanded in any of these mitzvahs, but Shabbos became a formal tzivui already by the Mara. If that's the case, we maybe now have a way to understand the Gemara. What was the kasha in the Gemara? How could the Gemara talk about whether they could travel on Shabbos because of the problem of Tchumen or Hotzah based on the tzivui of Mara? Chara Mara, according to Ramban, was not yet a tzivui. So how could the Gemara be discussing this issue? But let's remember, the Shabbos that the Gemara is discussing about whether they could have left on Shabbos or not. What Shabbos are we referring to? Did they or did they not leave on Shabbos from where to where? What's the Gemara discussing? The Shabbos of Rafidim. The Shabbos of Chos Tes Iyar, that the next day for Rav Yossi was Aleph Sivan Sunday, arriving at Hasina. This journey from Rafidim to Sinai was after the experience of Mara. The week earlier, that was the Shabbos that we were discussing, the Shabbos Rishona. So the issue right now of whether they can journey on Shabbos is the question of whether they were bound by the Issur Tchumen or Issur Hotzah post-Olus. But now, although the Gemara uses the Lashon, did they get commanded on in Mara on Tchumen, what the Gemara really will mean is, did Shabbos of Mara include Tchumen? To the extent that the mitzvah Shabbos of Mara included Tchumen, so that package of the mitzvah Shabbos of Mara, which includes Tchumen, would have all become binding at the same time, meaning an Olus. If the package of Shabbos of Mara did not include Tchumen, then when you get to Olus, the only thing that became formally a tzivoy is that which was given in Mara. In other words, the Gemara understood Kedavra Pasha, that there was no difference between the body of knowledge of Shabbos, of Mara, and what became operative and mitzuveh in Olus. And therefore, the Gemara just uses the shorthand expression. Were they commanded, quote-unquote, on Shabbos in Mara? The commandment means nothing different than what the Torah means. The commandment is the idea that all of these mitzvahs are going to become mitzuveh at whatever stage, and all of this is for the sake of facilitating the tzivui, the kedushas Yisrael, the chuli, everything we talked about. But clearly, there's not going to be a difference. If there was some aspect of Shabbos that was not part of the parsha of Shabbos that was given to Kaiso to be involved with in Mara, you couldn't allow for such a Isser to come into being in Olus. Olus, all Olus did was it took the mitzvahs of Mara that were not yet formally a tzivoy, but it was everything but a tzivoy, and it now became a tzivoy. And therefore, the Gemara is beautiful, because the Gemara is discussing not when they could travel after Mara before Olus. The Gemara's question was, could he travel from Rafidim to Sinai, which is after Olus? And so the Gemara says, did the Shabbos of Mara include, did it include Tchumen, whatever Tchumen means? If it included Tchumen, that means they were commanded in Tchumen, not in Mara, but in the next place, which is what made the mitzvah of Mara into formal tzivuyim. But the Gemara calls it Iskidua Tchumen. If they were not given the mitzvah of Tchumen in Mara, then they could have journeyed on Shabbos from the season, because nothing is going to change from the Shabbos of Mara to the halachos of Shabbos in practical terms in Olus. That's the answer that Nitziv gives. I was machaving Baruch Hashem to that Nitziv. Nitziv gives this extra twist, as we saw in the Tzukin, but that's the answer for the Ramban. The truth is that it's a double push from the Gemara itself, from Tosfos and from the Gemara, that there's no difference between Mara and Olus. Even if we were to say, like the Pashtus, not like the Ramban, that the mitzvah Shabbos of Mara was a formal tzivoy, they were commanded in Mara, like we would normally assume. Could anyone suggest that something about Shabbos became more usher on Shabbos from Olus that wasn't before? Or should we assume that the halachas of Shabbos of Mara are synonymous with halachas of olus. But with muscle, Tosfos asked the question, Al Yeta Isnim Kono was written in the Parsha of the month. The Tosfos says it doesn't belong there, because either it belongs after Matan Torah, that we find something else written in that parasha, but the Tzinsenes Haman, which was really done later on, so it writes it over here. But it really didn't happen right now. Al-Yetzis was given only later. Or it really belonged in Mara, but it was written over there because it has a shayachus to the story of the month. Why didn't Tosa say it was given here, so it's written here? Why did Tosa have to assume that the Al-Yetzis doesn't belong in Olus? It belongs before, it belongs after. Tosfos cannot imagine that there's something added in Hilchos Shabbos in Olus more than Mara. How did Tosfos know that? I'll tell you how Tosfos knew it. He knew it from the Gemara. If you go back to the Gemara says that Machlokas, where they can travel to leave Refidim to go to Sinai on Shabbos, depends on what? On the Shabbos of Mara. Did the Shabbos of Mara include Tchumen or not? The one Mandama says that it included Tchumen, so therefore they couldn't travel from Refidim on Shabbos. The other Mandama says that it didn't include Tchumen, so they could travel. But how does the Gemara know it depends on Mara? After all, right now we're talking about Refidim. It's after Olus. So maybe the issue should not depend on Mara. Maybe the issue should depend on whether they got in Olus the Issur Tchumen. And therefore, the Mandama that says that you could not travel is because, not because of Mara, it's because of Olus. How does the Gemara know that it was Shabbos and Mara that's relevant here? How does the Gemara know it? And if they weren't given Tchumen in Mara, how do you know that makes it permitted to travel from Refidim? Maybe they can't travel from Refidim anyway because of Olus. The Lechara, it's Muchach Mizgemara. It seems to me it's Muchach Mizgemara that it's Pasha, that even if you hold that Mara gave them the Tzivoy of Shabbos, but you can't find something that didn't exist in Mara as a Tzivoy and became a Tzivoy in Olus. Mara and Olus, from the perspective of Hilchos Shabbos, are identical, which is creates a problem for me. Many Achronim want to say that Shabbos Rishona is called the Shabbos of Olus because of Tchumen. Tchumen became operative in Olus. The Gemara is Muchach not that way. The Gemara is Muchach that the issue of Tchumen post Olus is dependent on whether Tchumen was part of the Issur of Shabbos and Mar. So the same way that we see in Tosfos, that once you know that there was a Tzivoy of Shabbos and Mara, it's not shayach to say there was something that didn't exist in Mara as a Tzivoy and became a Tzivoy in Olus. So too with Fidur Amban, we're going to say that whatever became binding in Olus had to be part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Ein Mesuvah Ba'Oseh, of Mara, because you can't separate. Whatever was the mitzvah of Shabbos and Mara for the Ramban would be the tzivoy of Shabbos in Olus, and the Mela, that would be Miyashev, the Gemara in Shabbos. I just want to end for a few minutes with a little bit of a very interesting machshava that also very much could be developed in much more length. But just for now, the nogea, the inyan of the mitzvahs of Mara, Shabbos is one of those mitzvahs, of course, in Mara that we've been discussing. Clearly, Mara was meant to be a precursor to Matan Torah, as we've seen. But not just for Shabbos, but in all the mitzvahs of Mara. The question is, what exactly about the mitzvahs of Mara are meant to be a precursor to Matan Torah? Why did Klal Yisrael get the selection of mitzvahs in Mara? So we talked about it. We talked about setting the tone for the Tzivoy and all that, for the Ramban. But why these mitzvahs in particular? So the truth is, we can glean it from the Ramban himself, in the continuation of that same piece from the Ramban, you'll see, the Ramban has another understanding of Mara based on Derech HaPshat. But when we read this Ramban, of Derech HaPshat, we can revisit the earlier Ramban, the earlier part of Ramban, which goes within Chazal. According to Chazal, Karisa will give in certain mitzvahs in Mara. But according to Ramban, of Derech HaPshat, it's not really mitzvahs per se, but something else. The words of the Torah, after all, are chokul mishkar. If you continue with me in the Ramban, where is it in your package? You'll find it again. Pick up from the Ramban, right after he finishes Pshat and Rashi and Chazal, he has his own idea what Mara was about. Ramban says, Bal derech ha-pshat, he says, Kasher hechelu lovu ba-midbar ha-gadol ha-norah b'simon asher in mayim. Klal Yisrael about to enter into the wild west, the wild wilderness, right? There's no food, there's nothing to drink, no water. Shamlehem b'mechiyasam b'tzorcheyem min hagim. Asher yinhagu b'hem adbom eretz neshem. Hashem created for them some kind of a structure that would allow them to sustain themselves, to live, to get through the challenges ahead in the Midbar. Asher yinhagu b'hem adbom eretz neshem. That's what chok is. Ki aminag yikari chok. Anytime you have some kind of a system, rules, some structure, that's called a chok. And he quotes the pasuk, v'yikari mishpat, v'yosem mishur kuhogen. If it's going to be measured appropriate, tailored to the situation, some kind of a way that they'll be able to get through the midbar, some kind of a way of having their needs met, that's chok u'mishpat. The Ramban continues, slightly different idea, but in the same basic vein, he says, oh, go a few lines down, she'yashven b'chukei ha-midbar. What is Moshe trying to do? He wants them to get disciplined in the realities of the desert. Because it's not an easy reality. The situation in Midbar is you have to have thick skin. You have to know how to handle the challenges that are going to come your way. Lishbo harav ha'tzama. To be able to tolerate the fact that you're going to have times where you're going to be hungry, times you're going to be thirsty. And what happens at those times? How are you going to act? The literal behen al Hashem lo derech teluna, and you should call out to Hashem not out of complaining. Umishpatim sheyichyu behem sham. Now, the Ramban is telling us that the importance of Mara is to give Bnei Yisrael a sense of understanding that you can't just act impulsively. You can't just decide if something is not going your way, you know, the expression being spoiled, you know, okay, catch. You have to be an adult, you have to be mature, you have to know how to speak. That's chok. And what's mishpat? Mishpatim sheyichyu behem sham. Le'ehov ish esve'eyu. To love each other. Lishnai batas haskenim. To act in accordance with what the Kenan tell you. Respect your elders. You should act with tzmius, with the children, with the women. Someone comes to visit in the midbar, treat them nicely. You see, the Ramban is saying something fascinating here. He goes on, I don't want to take too much time at both sites, unless we have something to spill to tomorrow. I don't know, we didn't officially schedule for tomorrow. So, I mean, we could leave this for tomorrow if it's already late, and we could finish tomorrow this inyan, or we could finish now for the next few minutes. What would you rather?
I'd like to make the decision.
The idea of Mara was the inyan of derech eretz. Not mitzvahs per se, but derech eretz. Derech eretz means a lot of things. But the one, the kuda, that defines all different applications of derech eretz is that a person is refined, a person is civilized. A person doesn't just act impulsively. And this could manifest in a lot of different ways. A person reacts derech eretz, if they don't have that refined quality, but then whenever something doesn't go their way, they're ready to, you know, to go crazy. They can't hold back. They won't hold back the way they speak. They won't recognize a certain protocols. You know, the way, to be able to know how do you get along with people? How do you speak to people? The Ramban says it shouldn't be like an army that just, without any taboos, you know, there has to be a sense of what's allowed, what's not allowed. This is not yet Torah. It's derech eretz. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. In order to have Torah, you have to have the ability to know how to act, how not to act as a mensch. You have to build discipline. How do you treat somebody? Shalom Aleichem. Someone comes to visit you in the camp. These things happen in the Midbar. So, you know, you greet them. Basic norms. Gneers for the women, for the children, listening to the elders, loving each other. Unbelievable. The Ramban's Pshat, Derech HaPshat, basically is saying that Mara was about giving them the structure of Derech Eretz, which is obviously necessary in order to get the Torah. Perhaps, even the Pshat that preceded this in the Ramban, when he's talking about the mitzvahs of Mara, as I'll say, there were certain mitzvahs in Mara. Why those mitzvahs? Why Shabbos, Paraduma, Dinim, Ibn Ava'im? Of all mitzvahs in the Torah, why were these chosen? And the answer is, each of these mitzvahs represents some aspect within the world of Derech Eretz. Yes, they're mitzvahs, but the focus of these mitzvahs now is not because of the mitzvahs, because they inculcate Derech Eretz. The notion of Derech Eretz is not, it's Kadma LaTorah, but it's also embedded within the Torah. Person really understands what Torah is meant to do for us, the person can reinforce their Derech Eretz through the mitzvahs of Torah. It says in the Mishnah Pekeos, Ein Derech Eretz in Torah, mean Torah and Derech Eretz. There's a mutual reinforcing quality to Torah and Derech Eretz. But certain mitzvahs in the Torah highlight in Yom of Derech Eretz in different ways. Keep it up, the aim is obvious. Respecting your parents, appreciation, HaKoras HaTov. Dinim means to set up a society. If I wrong somebody, if I cause damage, I have to pay for it. If I'm responsible, I'm responsible. You own your responsibility. You can't have a society being formed if you don't have laws that can govern how people relate to each other. That's dinim. That's the mitzvah in Parshas Mishpatim. Shabbos is also discipline because it means you work for 6 days and the seventh day you surrender. You say, I'm not working. My routine stops. Person lacks Derech Eretz. They think they can do everything all the time. There's no point where you can say stop. Shabbos represents a pause. The week has a cycle, and then you end the cycle. You stop. You give up. You say, now I'm going to spur. Also the idea of discipline in Derech Eretz. Haraduma would be in an intellectual way. I think I know everything. I want to know everything. I want to master every piece of knowledge there is. But there's something I don't understand. I have to surrender intellectually. I don't know. I don't know Shabbos. That's also a discipline in a different kind of a way. The mitzvahs of Mara were all building Derech Eretz. And that's because of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Something fascinating. The words V'sham Nisrahu, how do you teach those words? So the Ramban, in his own way, learns V'sham Nisrahu Derech HaPshat and tells you what he thinks that means on his level. Within the Pshat that he brings earlier, he teaches it the way we said. V'sham Nisrahu, to get them accustomed to mitzvahs. But Rashi had a very different pshat of Visham Nisahu. Rashi teaches Visham Nisahu means that Hashem saw, tested Klal Yisrael to see how they would ask for the water. And how did they ask for the water? They did not ask in a nice way. Hashem saw Klal Yisrael's stubbornness, that they did not ask Moshe for the water in a nice way. Moshe, the water is bitter. Please, we don't have water. Or the water, at that point, they didn't have the water. Moshe, daven for us, that we should have water. No, they just complained. So what does this have to do with anything? Rashi learned, V'sham Nisrahu goes back on the beginning of the story. How does it connect to the person? But the answer is because, what does it show? If they can't ask nicely for the water, what does it show? It means they took a test and they failed the test. So what happens if you get a failing grade on the test? So what do you realize? You look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I thought I was better than that. Obviously I'm not. I have to work on myself. Obviously I need to figure out a sequence for this. Hashem wanted to give them a test that they would fail. Why? So now that they failed, they would realize that they have to improve. So why did Hashem give them these mitzvahs? Because these mitzvahs served as a remedy to, therefore, give them the tikkun that they needed at this time. In order to get the Torah, you have to have the Derech Eretz. But if they lacked in Derech Eretz, they still had a little bit of mitzvahim in them and didn't ask nicely, V'sham Nisrahu, Hashem tested them and they failed the test. That's why Hashem gave them the Chokol Mishpat, because the Chokol Mishpat of these mitzvahs was specifically meant to reinforce in the Derech Eretz. I just want to end with, there's a lot lot more that I could say here. We don't have time. But just one vart that I think is so much, to me it feels like it's mamish emes, and I said it over to others who, Baruch Hashem, have been masking. The pshat that we say in the morning in Nusach Ashkenaz in Avir Rabba. We ask for Torah every day, and this is a bracha that everyone should have kavana every day of the year, especially these days now before Shavuos. These are words that are mamish. You know, everyone makes a big deal about the Tefillas Hashlah, about our children and ourselves to be connecting to Torah. That's once a year, but this is every single day. Avir Rabba is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for the enlightening our eyes in Torah. But there's something there that sounds at first glance a little bit repetitive. Because we talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu initially and we say, Avinu Malkeinu Bavur Abosin Shabbat Chu Bacha, Vatilam Bitzchu Kechayim Kein Tachaneinu Vesalam Edein. We say, Hashem, you should teach us. Then we go on, we say, Lichim Bli Beinu, Lohavinu Haskil. Again, we ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu to enlighten us, Bahar Yinu Vesarasecha. What's going on? Why do we seem to be saying the same thing again and again? But if you look carefully, maybe the answer is as follows. What does it mean when we say, Avinu Malkeinu, this Nusach Ashkenaz, Ba'avu Aboseinu Shabbat Chu Bacha? We normally assume that the Bat Aboseinu Shabbat Chu Bacha refers to the Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Mefarshim and Siddur say no. This doesn't refer to the Avos. It refers to Yotzei Mitzrayim. Yotzei Mitzrayim are the Aboseinu that we're referring to in this expression, even though usually Aboseinu means the Avos, but sometimes in davening we can find the expression Aboseinu referring to Yotzei Mitzrayim. Where is Bat Chuvacha? Bat Chuvacha is at the time that they left Mitzrayim, they had no idea of how they would sustain themselves in the Midbar. They had no food, just a little bit of leftovers from the Seder that they had, Shirai Matzomar, that Seder Va'asuahem, and they were praised for this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Yoh Anavi, Zachati Lo Chesed Noraych, as we know, Lechti Chacharei Bamid Bebez Bo Zeruah. Ba'avu Avu Seder Shabbat Chuvacha, Ba'atulam Ve'im Chukei Chayim, and you taught them Chukei Chayim. What is the Chukei Chayim? Kein Tachaneinu Salam Deinu. So you should teach us the same thing. Teach us. And then we go on. Avinu Malkeinu V'Shem B'Libeinu Avinu Haskil. So the Pshat is as follows. If Avoseinu Shabbat Chuvacha is Klai Yisrael Yivim Mitzrayim, Nevatalam Deinu Chukei Chayim doesn't have to mean Matan Torah. Vatalam Deinu Chukei Chayim can mean the mitzvahs in Mara, or whatever it was that they had in Mara. Going to Rabbanu Derech HaPshat, it's mamish like a glove. It's mamish binyanim derech eretz. According to what we're saying now with Fi Rashi, with Fi Chazal, the mitzvahs of Mara were meant specifically to inculcate binyanim derech eretz. This bracha is not just a bracha for Torah. This bracha has to introduce a bakasha for derech eretz yekadma la Torah. But before we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem B'Libeinu L'Avinu Haskil, before we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Har Yinu B'Sarasecha, we start by saying, B'Avu Avoseinu Shebatchu V'cha V'Atelam V'im Chukei Chayim Kein Tachaneinu U'Selamedeinu. We want Derech Eretz. We know that we need to have Derech Eretz in order to have Torah. We use this expression so much just as a slogan. But the truth is, when you think about it, if this is mamish what our bakasha is, it means we have to take it on that level. We can't just take it for granted. Whatever level we're on, Baruch Hashem, we should be excited and proud, just like we are level of Torah that we're proud of. But the bakasha has to continue. Every day we're asking for Torah, every day we're asking for the Derech Eretz, the Kadma LaTorah. It has to come together. We know how important that is. That the Gemara talks about how a person who learns Torah, and Chas B'Shalom, the perception of such a person in the world is that Torah doesn't make a person a better person. They don't know about the Ksos, about the Kibbeh, about the Tosfos. They know if you're holding the door for them, if you say hello, if you say Shalom Aleichem, if you act in a way that makes a Kiddush Hashem in the world, that's what people recognize. So this is what every Yid needs to think about, not just to be asking for Torah, but to be asking at the same time for the Derech Eretz Yekadma LaTorah, which is what we have over here in Kein Tachaneinu U'Selamedeinu, in the experience of Mara, which was meant to set the tone, as we've been saying, for Matan Torah afterwards. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us meaningful Shavuos, a Shavuos that should make us feel very connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, connected to Torah, whatever venue that we are. Not going to be simple, obviously, but we should make the the most of the holy days of Shavuos, and we should continue to grow in Torah and also in Derech Chesed Kadmah LaTorah. It should be a yantif, a good yantif for everybody, and shekayach for all you for coming, and hope to brachah.